Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
And right now on the WadeFord.com hotline, we have the one and only Tiki Barber, and excited to have him on. He's the co-host of Tiki and Tierney on CBS Sports Radio. Tiki will be talking about his podcast, and obviously we're going to be talking about the playoffs. Tiki, good afternoon. Thanks for joining us.
My pleasure. How you guys doing?
Oh, we're doing great, man. Okay, so let's talk Falcons and Eagles, Tiki, as we look ahead here. John and I have been talking today. I think because of the stout run defense of the Eagles that the Falcons are going to have to pass to set up the run. Are you with me?
Yeah, I mean, it's always a chess match. You never want to get caught, though, doing things that you're not comfortable doing or creating a game plan just specifically to beat someone else. I've always had this philosophy. If you're good at something, do that first and then figure it out from there. So because of who Matt Ryan is, you know, obviously the former MVP, because Mohamed Sanu is there and Julio Jones, and there's enough talent to be pass first, I'm okay with it for the Atlanta Falcons. Some of the other teams that are left in the postseason, though, I wouldn't advise it. For instance, like the Jacksonville Jaguars, if they wanted to confuse the teams that they're playing going forward, they shouldn't pass first because they don't have the ability to do it as effectively as I think the Falcons can.
Tiki, one of the things we were talking about earlier today as well is Marquand Manuel, our defensive coordinator, maybe not getting enough credit for the job that he's done. When you look at the Falcons on film defensively, how much better are they than this time a year ago?
Well, I mean, it's always about guys who will make plays. Like Grady Jarrett and Vic Beasley, those guys have to stand up and make plays. And Adrian Claiborne, he's had a great season as well with 9.5 sacks on the year. So it is about scheme, but it's also about when I look at this Falcons defense, what I see is a team that's had to carry the weight that the offense hasn't been carrying over the last couple of years. I mean, we saw this last year on their run to the Super Bowl. It didn't matter who the Atlanta Falcons were playing, and in some cases, it almost didn't matter how well their defense was playing because of how effective their offense was at just outscoring opponents. But that hasn't been the case this year. And so you have to give credit, obviously, this Atlanta Falcons defense for keeping them viable, for most of the season. We thought they were going to be on the outside looking in, but because of how they fought through it, three teams out of the NFC South got into the postseason, and Atlanta was one of them.
Tiki Barber joining us on the WadeFord.com hotline, the midday show with Rick and John here on the home of the Falcons. And Tiki, and I'm looking at your resume right now. I'm on footballreference.com, profootballreference.com. I love this website.
I love it too. It's amazing.
It's amazing. We saw earlier today, Vinny Testaverde came up. 267 INTs in his career, fourth all time. But I have Tiki Barber's resume up here. And Tiki, I knew, playing fantasy sports and covering it and watching your career, you're one of the best dual threat running backs of all time in terms of all the catches and yardage. Ladies and gentlemen, Tiki Barber is 13th all-time in career yards from scrimmage at over 15,000. And there's all this talk, Tiki, about the Hall of Fame and Randy Moss and Terrell Owens and all this kind of stuff. Do you feel like you have a Hall of Fame resume?
The knock is that I only did it for a short amount of time. But if I had done it for two more years, either prior or a couple of years after I retired, then it would be a no-brainer. But there's certain things that I accomplished over my career that I'm proud of. There's only three guys or three of us that have 10,000 yards rushing and 5,000 receiving. Myself and Marshall Faulk and Marcus Allen are the only ones in that club. And it's getting harder and harder to find your way into it because of the diversity that you see in backfields. I mean, you guys see it down there in Atlanta with Devontae Freeman and Tevin Coleman. I mean, neither one of those guys is ever going to be an 1,800-yard-a-year rusher plus a 400- or 500-yard receiving option because it's just they split carries. And so I think the uniqueness of my career and the vacuum that I played it in, right after Marshall Faulk, right around that same time as LaDainian Tomlinson, gives me a chance. But it's all about the narrative with the Hall of Fame. It's all about somebody prophesizing for you and being your evangelist and getting in front of that secretive cabal of voters and making them believe that you belong there. So it's, since it's completely out of my control, I can't even entertain it. You know, another guy who also had a career very similar to mine was Ward Dunn. I mean, he has just about the same amount of rushing yards. He doesn't have many receiving yards. But the reason he's never been in that conversation is because he wasn't on that Super Bowl team, right? Then down in Tampa Bay, all of those Tampa Bay Bucks, my brother John Lynch, Warren Sapp, Derek Brooks, all those guys are in the Hall of Fame conversation because they won that Super Bowl. Warwick missed it; he left and came to you guys in Atlanta, and they won the next year. The same thing applies for me. I left the year before a team won a Super Bowl. In a lot of cases, we want to define success of athletes by whether or not they won a championship, whether that's fair or not.
TK, I got to ask you, I think there's only one running back that's one of the 15 finalists this year, Edgerrin James.
Yeah.
He's a guy that you look, the numbers are all there. Should he be a Hall of Famer?
Yeah, he definitely should. He was as integral part of that system in Indianapolis as anyone. And that was it was started because of Marshall. I mean, people forget that Marshall Faulk was there when Peyton Manning first arrived. And Marshall was that second general in the backfield. And when he left and went out to St. Louis and, you know, helped create that greatest show on turf, Edgerrin filled that void pretty deftly. And, you know, the checkdowns and the ability to block, he was a big player, even though he was, you know, agile and able to run between the tackles and to the edges. So absolutely. I mean, I'm all for the running back getting in into the Hall of Fame because so many of these guys have gotten overlooked, and we've seen it over the last decade. The position's gotten marginalized, but slowly and surely it's starting to come back, and we're seeing, you know, the Alvin Kamaras / Mark Ingrams with the Saints. We're seeing your two guys. We're seeing how valuable it is to have a player who can do so many different things from the backfield position.
We have the very, very bright Tiki Barber on the WadeFord.com hotline, co-host of Tiki and Tierney on CBS Sports Radio. Tiki, are the Falcons, our beloved Atlanta Falcons, going to go up to Philly and beat the Eagles?
Oh, man, they're my favorite. They're my sneaky favorite now to get to the Super Bowl. Two things. One, we know what's happening in Philadelphia with Carson Wentz and his injury and what that leaves them with Nick Foles, who just hasn't been as effective. That first game, he was amazing. Like, oh, they're not going to miss a beat. Four touchdowns, no interceptions, and then since then, he's left a lot to be desired. So that offense isn't going to be nearly as productive and explosive as it has been. And the biggest thing when I look at this matchup is how healthy the Falcons are. I mean, I know you guys got some guys on the injury list right now, Sanu with the knee, et cetera. But the healthiest team left in the playoffs is the Falcons. And at this point, experience means a lot, right? The football is a game of attrition. You get beat up and banged up, and learning how to be healthy is as much a part of your job as learning, you know, your third and three situations come Thursday install. So do I think Atlanta's going to go to Philly and win? Absolutely I do, only because they've been there, and they're healthy, and they have experience and playmakers on both sides of the ball.
Tiki, we know you got to run, but where can we find your podcast?
Our podcast is great. It's something we started with Westwood One and CBS Sports Radio. It's on iTunes. It's on Spotify and Google Play. My first episode was with my long, long-time friend. I mean, back to the time when I was born, because Bruce Arians was a graduate assistant with my dad at Virginia Tech. So my first one was with Bruce Arians. My second one that I just released yesterday was with my twin brother, Rondé. We had a fun conversation.
So, Tiki, I've got to give you a compliment quickly before we let you go. There aren't too many guys that can look at their own resume and say, I probably fell a year or two of playing short. I just want to credit you on that. You don't hear that very often. Tiki, we appreciate your time, man. Be well.
My pleasure, guys. Good luck to you all in your fan base this weekend.
Thanks a lot. That's Tiki Barber here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We got to get to a short version of From the Bible.
Well, Rick and John bring the knowledge.
You're smart.
Preacher Man brings these stories you missed. And yes, the research material.
Open up, air out.
This is From the Bible.
Hallelujah!
On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Hallelujah, baby. We had to wait a little while, but... Is it time for the research material?
No. You can never.
What are you talking about?
I'm not sure if that's on the social media violation page, by the way.
So. I don't read that. I didn't have my glasses on. I couldn't read that. We always do from the Bible as a sponsor, thank goodness, by Dunn Waterproofing and Restoration. Get it done with Dunn. Call 770-4FLOODS. Dunn Waterproofing. Yes, as you know, we've all been in a meeting for the past hour, which you know,
we're going back to in like 5 minutes.
We got to go back, so we got to knock this out.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. This is for Ricky because he's an NBA guy. Your boy Giannis Antetokounmpo. Is that how you say it? How
pretty
do?
Close.
That's good? Close enough.
Yeah. You know, if I was drunk,
you're in the
ballpark. Apparently, he and his teammates pulled the old rookie prank on Sterling Brown and filled up his G-Wagon with popcorn.
That's awesome. It's actually not, because you know, John, that the popcorn breaks and it kind of disintegrates and goes from like a little kernel that you eat to like white powder that you're never going to fully get out of whatever automobile
it was.
He's got
a G-Wagon. That's big money.
Well, what's a G-Wagon?
The Mercedes, like SUV, little small SUV.
Well, it's not small. It's the big boxy one.
Yeah, the boxy
one. Oh, the boxy. Those are awesome. Interesting. Sterling Brown is on the fringe of the NBA. And
here's the thing. If you've got money to have a G-Wagon, you've got money to get somebody to detail it. He'll be okay.
So there's that. One time, Jason Richardson with the goal. No, who got all ticked off? It was Jason Richardson, rookie with I believe it was the Warriors. They put popcorn in his car, lost his mind.
Really,
lost
he didn't seem
mind.
Like the most happy person anyway.
He just lost his mind. He was like, "You can't do this," blah blah blah. So did Sterling Brown receive it well?
Yeah, he seemed to. There's a video of it. You can go check it out. He didn't seem to really have a problem with it. Basically, it says this is what you get when you don't do your rookie duties. So apparently he didn't do what he was supposed to do as a rookie, and he got a little payback.
Now, big time in the veterans.
Was
can't
this
do that.
Real popcorn or the packing popcorn?
No, it looked to be real popcorn in the video.
Is it buttery?
I would hope they didn't butter it because, you know, those leather seats.
How
I
about
think
salted?
It ain't coming
good.
Out of that.
Yeah. No butter stains.
So we'll see what happens. Now, have you heard of Fantex?
Fantex.
No. Fantrax was the fantasy server that John set up for us in our college league.
No, Fantex Inc. is suing Kendall Wright because Fantex would pay athletes a signing bonus in exchange that they could get a piece of the athlete's future income on and off the field, aka stockholders. Okay. Well, Fantex reportedly signed a deal with Wright back in 2015, offering him $3.125 million for 10% of his future earnings. Since then, Wright reportedly made $7.3 million with the Titans. Good Lord, that was a waste of money. And $4 million with the Bears. It says he'll probably sign another big contract in 2018. The problem is, according to Fantex, Wright stopped paying the company their cut in March of 2017 and now owes $288,000 in back payments plus interest.
Mm. Okay.
That was a deal with the devil by Kendall Wright. What a terrible idea. So I'm going to take $3.3 million, but I have to give you 10% of everything I earn from this point forward?
Yeah.
That's not a no. That's a hell no.
No. That's stupid business.
Bad business.
What was worse, his business acumen or him being a wide receiver?
Is it a push?
Oh, and by the way,
at least for my team,
I'm going to go with wide receiver.
That big contract you're talking about, leading the worst receiving crew in the NFL in catches, Kendall Wright of the Bears, that is not going to parlay into a big old contract.
Look, I just read stories. I don't, you know. Anyway, so we're going to go to research material. Today's research comes from Jeff and Marietta.
Mm-hmm.
Her name is Jasmine Cadavid. That's C-A-D-A-V-I-D. Jasmine Cadavid.
What happened to last names like Smith or Jones?
They're not hot enough.
Good
John.
Lord.
These are IG models, dude. You can't have Smith and Jones. You got to have
Cadavid? Who
comes
up with that? Did somebody go to the courthouse and go, you know what? I'm changing my name. I'm just making it what I want it to be.
Jasmine is Cadavid. I can tell you that right now.
Hey, this hour's code word that can send you to the night before with the Dave Matthews Band in Minneapolis is defense. The Falcons have been playing great defense, so text defense to 72881. Now for your chance to win. Message and data rates may apply. For rules and to enter online, visit intercomtest.com or intercomcontest.com. Read that right, John. One more randomly selected nationwide entry will win a trip to Minneapolis for the night before. Again, the word is defense. Text that right now to 72881. We take a break. We come back. Dave Archer.
Nope. Audible.
Oh, an audible.
The most important part of the meeting that we needed to be at is wrapped up.
Really?
So the whole reason that we had to do replays is to hear one portion of the meeting that just got wrapped up since we were in here live.
And I bet you all those greedy you-know-whats took all the Chick-fil-A that was back there as well.
Well, run now.
That's ridiculous. All right, well, we'll talk Falcons next and the rise of the defense on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Maybe we'll get benefits. Maybe we won't.
I mean, we're always confident. You know, we got a lot of playmakers on this offense. On the line, you know, backs, tight ends, receivers. So, you know, we know what we put the work throughout the week. You know, we'll be ready for Saturday.
That's Mohamed Sanu, and we bring you back with a little Tool, one of my favorite bands. Thank you, M.O. As we bring you back to the Kia Studios, Rick Kamla, John Michaels, we are here to talk a little football and hopefully get silly towards the end of this segment. Because, John, we're here talking about...
I think we can get silly now.
Fine. That's fine. let's just get right to it. Jasmine Kadavid is in the Booyah. Hall of Fame of booties, okay? Absolutely exhilarating. To be honest with you, it's a white dude just chilling here about nine stories up from Peachtree. A little bit too much for your boy. A little bit too much for your boy to handle.
Not me. But again, to each his own.
It's a lot of back.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that there is.
A lot of back. They always say around here at 92.9 The Game, challenge yourself. Yeah. Well, I'm married, so, you know.
I'm not challenging myself.
But that would be a challenge, John.
I'd have to do some push-ups beforehand or something. Some calisthenics.
We have to go on an all-week cleanse before that.
Well, I'm already cleansed. Let's be real. I am after 4 days of puking everywhere, I am as cleansed as can be. I am actually holding food down for the first time in
really?
A couple of years. Yeah. Now, I don't know that I should have gone spicy chicken sandwich right now. That might be a little dicey coming up a little later on. But
dude, the spicy chicken sandwich from Chick-fil-A is game-changing.
They had some in the back.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, well, I got the last one.
Did you really?
I did.
All right. Maybe, hopefully, go downstairs and give them a book. But
I
anyway.
Had to do a rip move through HR, and I think I did a spin move off of Bo Johnson to be able to get to the Chick-fil-A sandwich.
Did it then require a swim move to get some sauce for that
sandwich? No, I don't do sauce. No sauce. You got the spicy chicken. It's already got the flavor it needs. It's got the pickle right there.
I know, but you never know with you. You're like this blue cheese connoisseur.
No, that's only on wings.
Which is... despicably gross. And I agree with you, though. The spicy chicken deluxe from Chick-fil-A with the tomato and the lettuce and the pickle on it. Oh, my God.
All I need
is the meat. It does not need anything else.
I just need the chicken and the pickle. That's it. I don't need anything else. I don't do tomato. Tomatoes are disgusting.
They're not.
They're horrible.
You're out of your mind.
A raw tomato, I'd rather headbutt this glass than eat raw tomatoes.
Now, if you had a raw tomato on a plate, okay, like Charity likes eating just raw tomato with a little salt on it or whatever. And no, I need that tomato in a sandwich. I can't just eat tomato. A tomato in a sandwich, yeah.
No, never. Like if the sauce that I have in my spaghetti has two chunky tomatoes, I'll take the chunky piece of the tomato and put it off to the side.
You are so bougie. All right, so what? Let's go around the room here. Where are we at with eating raw tomatoes?
I love me some ketchup. I love me some salsa. I hate me raw tomatoes. I'll take them off any sandwich we have. Nothing worse than biting into like a chicken sandwich and you get the squishiness with a little lukewarm tomato. Ugh. My grandfather was the same way. He'd grab a tomato off the plant, dust it off on his shirt, and dig into it like an apple.
That was pre-pesticides, wasn't it?
Yeah, my grandfather used to grow fruits and vegetables in his backyard down in South Florida. And a tomato would be on one of those vines. He'd pop it right off there and just start eating it. Or an okra, like a raw okra, which is... You might as well eat a piece of the tree. I mean, raw okra is pretty disgusting as well.
Preacher man, where are you at with the raw tomato thing?
Yeah, I'm good with that. I like tomatoes.
I had a feeling it was going to be two to two this time.
Yeah. Answer that on the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line, 404-741-0929. Raw tomatoes, yay or nay?
And I'm case by case. I'm not just going to eat a raw tomato, but I do like a raw tomato on a sandwich.
Man, no chance.
I'm case by case.
Like, if I order something, I'm at whatever place, and I go, no tomato, and there's a tomato on this, I will make them take it back.
And redo the whole thing?
Yeah, go, dude, I don't want the
tomato.
They're going. Man, I don't want the tomato. How about get my order right?
You know they're doing that when you send it back, right?
I don't want the little, red residue all over the bun. No, it's disgusting. Then I can taste it. No thanks.
Emma, why are you shooting me a grimace?
I know, just that noise you made right there is what they do to his sandwich.
You mean that one right there?
You're awful. Hey, real quick.
I've got many talents.
Yes or no? Don't go into this. Raw onions, yes or no?
The purple ones, yes. The purple ones are good. Yeah. The white ones, hell no.
I like the purple ones better, and I do like an onion on a sandwich.
Negative.
But if if me and Charity have a little date to get busy and get a little intimate, okay, then I'm not eating onion because you can brush your teeth 5 times and Listerine 7 more times, and you're still going to kiss her, and she's going to be like, what in the hell did you eat? So, it's case by case.
Listen,
like
I know
said.
Chick-fil-A brought us some free food, but I may have a reconnect appointment coming up in 9 hours from now.
No
so onion. I'm not going to eat it.
Hey, real quick before we talk about the Falcons, some breaking news in college football.
Really?
It's not really anything unexpected. Calvin Ridley wins a national title, gone to the NFL. Has already made his announcement via Twitter. I see that just popped up about 5 minutes ago. Had a nice little letter to the Crimson Tide Nation. I say no worse than, I'm going to make a prediction here, no worse than number seven. Number seven on the draft board.
No worse than seven?
Seven.
Do you want to do a little juice box bet?
No, I will never bet on the draft because most of those people up there are three-fourths crazy that are making picks. But I'm just making my prediction, no worse than seven.
Okay.
I've seen some mocks as high as him at number four.
I don't think he's going to be a top seven pick. I do, however, think he will be a first half of the first round pick. I think he will be one of the first. And so I've seen Cortland Sutton of SMU is the number one wide receiver off the board in some mock drafts. Give me a break. Cortland Sutton is a heck of a prospect. There's no doubt about it. Calvin Ridley?
Yeah, Calvin Ridley.
The way Calvin Ridley moves and gets out of his breaks and the routes that he runs. No, that's next. Calvin Ridley reminds me a little bit of Marvin Harrison.
Yeah, that's a pretty good comparison.
He reminds me,
runs great routes.
He's just so precise with what he does on the football field. He's quick.
And let's be honest, he was not underutilized at Alabama his first year because he had a quarterback that could throw. The last 2 years with Jalen Hurts, they couldn't get him the ball like they wanted to. Somebody will find a way to get him the football. Here's the only concern I have, though, drafting receivers in the first round. Go look at what the receivers did this year that were first-round receivers. They were bad. Or non-existent, one or the other.
John Ross injured, put on IR, ticked off his coach. You have Corey Davis of the Titans, who's going to be a really good player. He was off and on injured all year. And then Mike Williams of the L.A. Chargers, a no-show season due to injury. But I might be giving up on John Ross a little bit, John, but the other two guys I'm not giving up on. Mike Williams and Corey Davis, I still have a lot of hope for them in the NFL.
I think they all can play eventually. John Ross, probably not, as you just mentioned. The tomato debate, it's really back and forth. There's some people that are on my side that are really passionate, like saying blank a raw tomato. Raw tomatoes are disgusting equals hell. No, but then there's some that are going, oh, I love them. They're great. You have to have them.
Is there a cultural divide with the raw tomato thing? Or
I don't think so.
Okay, this is just it.
Because Mark and I are from as two different cultures as humanly possible, and both of us are saying hell no to raw tomatoes.
All right, so Falcons defense.
Oh, yeah, we got time for that.
And I just want to make this point. In terms of how well they're playing, and then you got Nick Foles back there. Mm-hmm. I don't believe that Nick Foles is going to be able to solve the riddle that is our secondary right now. Our secondary is playing as well as any group in the NFL. That's fact. Mm-hmm. You see the way we turned over Cam 2 weeks ago and the way we played against the LA Rams. Okay, they're playing lights out. They're not missing tackles. John, did we have a defensive holding or pass interference call? Bleedy Ray Wilson.
He did.
Got one.
And how do you get one against a tight end? Bleedy Ray, come on, bro. You're a corner covering a tight end, and you get a holding penalty.
It was a little weak. But I thought that Alford and Trufant had amazing football games. Mm-hmm. And look, you've got two guys that are really, really good, and Alshon Jeffrey and Nelson Aguilar. Nelson Aguilar has had a sensational season. But I like our guys. I think that they are really going to limit the passing game of the Eagles. And like we talked about, I think they're going to be able to do it man-on-man.
We don't give enough credit to what Robert Alford has become. You know, he signed the big contract in the offseason. Dez was a bigger contract. But Robert Alford finally is having a year where you're not going, why did he get another penalty? He had a play that they tried to hit, I want to say Sammy Watkins, on a go route down the sideline right in front of the Falcons. And he's in the hip pocket, and in times past, that's where Robert Alford would reach out, even though he's right there, and just not trust his technique, grab Sammy Watkins, get a pass interference, and the Rams would have had first and goal. Rob stays in the hip pocket, and then at the perfect time jumps with the inside right hand and knocks the football away. And then talks trash to him and walks back to the huddle, and I loved every second of it.
Me too. We're the home of the Falcons, and we are Rick and John throwing our midday party. So we talked about, you know, how good Philadelphia's run defense is. The best in the league. Allowed 79.2 yards per game and 7 touchdowns. Let's compare that to the Falcons' defense. So Philly number 1 against the run. Atlanta number 9. Not that far back. The Falcons gave up 104.1 per game on the ground. Here's where the two defenses are very, very similar. Touchdowns allowed on the ground. Mm-hmm. Okay, there are 8 teams in the NFL. That's it. 8 teams that allowed fewer than 10 rushing touchdowns. Our Falcons were one of them with 9. The Eagles gave up 7 rushing touchdowns. So for all the credit that we give the Eagles for having the best rushing defense in the NFL, We only allowed two more rushing touchdowns than they did all season. So let's give our guys some dap, too.
Do you think the Falcons will get over 100 yards on the ground this week?
Yes.
As a group, and I'm not saying individually, just as a group.
Yeah, I mean, I think Ryan's going to get a dirty 20. I could see Coleman getting, you know, 30 to 40, and I could see Devontae Freeman getting 50 to 60. I don't see any of these guys, John. You know, I don't see Devontae having a 100-yard game.
No, me
okay.
neither.
But I see Matt Ryan having a big game. This is more about throwing than running. I'm telling you, Philly's going to stack the box. They're going to try to take the run away. And Dave Archer and Tiki Barber, and I believe you agreed with me as well, that we have to pass to set up the run in this football game.
It's got
to
be the same game plan as you had against Carolina. A couple of funny texts coming in here. Hey, Mark, this is for you and I. Do you guys cut the crusts off your sandwich too?
No.
Hell yeah to tomatoes.
No, I'll pull the top layer of crust. Now at the very top of the bread, that one,
that one thick piece of bread, yeah, that
you can easily just rip off like a Band-Aid. Yeah, I'll pull that one off. Rest of it's fine.
You mean the part that when you toast it gets like black? That part.
That part.
Yeah.
Somebody said I'd rather smell the fart of a dead possum than eat a raw tomato.
Wow. That's strong.
That's
quite the analogy.
I think I'm gonna go with the raw tomato in that scenario.
Smell the fart.
Well, he said something worse than that, but I tried to clean it up for air.
I like the other one better.
Yeah.
Hey, FCC earmuffs for just a second. All right, continue, John. I'm just kidding.
Yeah, I don't think a dead possum farts, but that's just me. They just tend to smell
pretty
bad.
Maybe if you step on it, something would come out.
Maybe. I got something. Mark, tomorrow, read between the lines. I meant to give this to you this morning, but we were running around. Michael Rappaport has something on sweatpants that we got to get to tomorrow. But what do you have on Read Between the Lines today?
Well, coming up next, Steve Kerr. He's had enough of Papa Ball and another NFL star want to be a rap star. We got the audio.
All want
to
be like me.
Judge it for yourself. That's all coming up next, Read Between the Lines, Sports Radio 92 on the game.
I just need the chicken and the pickle. That's it.
And want you know they're going.
Man. I don't want the tomato. How about sports?
MO brings in noise you may have missed or need to hear again with Read Between the Lines with Rick and John on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
All right, we're in the Kia Studios and the whacking continues. Another coach has been whizzacked in the NFL. His name is Daryl Bevel, the offensive coordinator of the Seahawks. He has been whacked.
I'm a little upset. I heard the gloves are off in the meeting room now. Now it's like a programming meeting. And everybody's apparently, because I heard some screaming coming out of there.
Hey, this is why we're on the air, people.
Yeah. By the way, thank you to Chick-fil-A downstairs who did bring lunch up to all the good folks at 92.9 The Game.
That's spicy. I didn't get any. Mark, did you get any?
You're darn right, I did. Yeah. I was in that meeting for a total of 8 minutes.
I didn't get any either.
You didn't get any either?
No.
Did you eat your Caesar salad?
No, Paul had an orange and yogurt like he was six.
That's right.
And a raw tomato.
And a fruit roll-up.
What did Amy look at your love handles and be like, you put on a little weight, preacher?
Hey, I just do as I'm told. That's why I've been married this long.
She told me at Conti's party, you like Paul's new diet? He gets meat. He gets like three pieces of turkey and an orange.
And then I handed Amy another Kamala cocktail.
Yeah, and then she beat me again at Words with Friends.
I sent him to work with a Lunchable. He is good to go.
No, we don't do Lunchables. Those things are nasty.
I don't. They come.
My kids have tried them, and they gave them back.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, is that like giving your dog a scrap, and your dog goes, and then you're like, what am I actually eating
exactly.
here?
Exactly.
All right, Read Between Lines, all brought to you by Inspire Medical Systems. Well, it looks like everybody, not just us, but everybody in the NBA world has had enough of LaVar Ball. Here's Golden State Warriors head coach Steve Kerr talking about LaVar Ball and makes the uncomfortable comparison to the Kardashians.
There's nothing interesting about that story. You know how many parents of my players have probably been at home going, why isn't he playing my kid? And yet we're sticking a microphone in front of his face because it's apparently it gets ratings. I don't know who cares, but people care. Somewhere, I guess it's in Lithuania, LaVar Ball's laughing. People are eating out of his hands for no apparent reason other than, you know, he's become like the Kardashian of the NBA or something, and that sells. I've talked to people in the media this year. I said, why do you guys have to cover that guy? They say, well, we don't want to. Nobody wants to, but our bosses tell us we have to because of the ratings.
I don't know what ratings they get. You say what you want. You can hate or love LaVar Ball. He has been genius in the way that he keeps his family and their name out there.
Genius is strong.
Dude, they're He is a basketball dad.
I'm just saying, genius is strong.
That has a reality TV show or podcast or video show. And now two of his, you know, pre-college kids are making a, and I use quote-unquote, living in Lithuania. The problem is it's all going to come back to bite him if you believe all the stuff about the shoe brand and the T-shirt brand. The other day when that Better Business Bureau story that Paul brought up on From the Bible came out, there were lots of people going on Twitter going, I ordered shoes in June and I still haven't got them. First of all, you're a dummy for ordering $500 shoes. That's first and foremost. But B, shame on them if they're really not sending people shoes. And didn't I see LeVar Ball say something along, they're little ballers if they're worried about shipping?
Yeah, I mean, it's ridiculous.
I mean, it's ridiculous.
It's totally ridiculous. So let me back up for a second. Have you guys seen the headlines or maybe read a story about Lonzo Ball and Luke Walton having to go to the media and say that there is no problem with them? Okay, have you also seen the tweet from Jeannie Buss, the president of the Lakers, saying, in Luke we trust? Have you also seen some idiots who are totally out of touch actually asking questions about Luke Walton's job security as the head coach of the Lakers? Okay, all of that. Now let's go to Steve Kerr. Who did Luke Walton work for before he worked for the Lakers? Steve Kerr. Yeah. Steve Kerr and Luke Walton are boys. So LeVar Ball has created an issue for Luke Walton, and thus LeVar Ball has created an issue with Steve Kerr. To me, M.O., Steve Kerr can be sort of globally frustrated with what he sees from LeVar Ball, but this one's personal. LeVar Ball's coming after his guy, Luke Walton, and that's why you got the vitriol right there.
I just get annoyed at the four-letter network on the weekend of the national championship and, you know, playoff NFL games. First story NFL, second story college football, third story gets 15 minutes about the Ball family playing basketball overseas. Come on, guys, you can do better than that. Let's go to the NFL. John Gruden had his press conference in Oakland yesterday. We haven't spent a whole lot of time talking about it. Here's his four reasons why he came back home.
There's really four major reasons that I am here coaching today. Number one, I love football. I love the players that play it. I love the preparation. I love the journey. Love football. And I love the city of Oakland. I had a son here. Some of my great memories in life are in Oakland, and I want to give them two of the best years of football that I can possibly help deliver. And I love the Raiders. The brand is global. Everywhere I went as a Monday Night Football analyst, the Raider Nation would come out of the ground. I love the Raiders, and most of all, I love to win. And I'm going to do everything I can. No guarantees, no promises, but I want to win.
I love John Gruden. You know, I want to see how much he does have left in the tank, but I'll give you the four reasons he came back. $100 million. The end.
I agree and I disagree. I think John Gruden was ready for a new challenge, and John, we are missing something very odd. It's right under our nose.
Mm-hmm.
John Gruden has to work with Sean McDonough every Monday night. Would you want to work with Sean McDonough every Monday night?
Yeah, if that means I'm working Monday Night Football,
him, yeah, I'd
hell yeah.
I knew you guys were going to go to the paycheck card. Okay, I anticipated that. I'm just saying Sean McDonough stinks at his job, and so I just had to take that shot. But I'm a huge John Gruden guy. I am officially sort of an adopted Raider, I don't know, supporter, viewer. I'm a huge Gruden guy, and I love that he's back in the NFL.
I'd work with Chucky from a Stuckey's doing play-by-play if it meant I was doing Monday Night Football.
I'm just saying, I had to take a shot.
How
at
would
Sean
Chucky
McDonough
from a Stuckey's sound like?
I don't know. You're the sound effect guy.
Hey, man, it's a third down. What? Huh? Philip on six? All right. You can have a log roll as well.
If you Wikipedia white guys dropping beats, number one's going to be Vanilla Ice. Number two, hands down, Gerardo. Number
three, white. He's
number three is going to be John Michaels.
You what can about also, Eminem?
You can also argue now he's like 12th or 15th on the list. I mean, we're talking
really?
About real artists.
You know, you're dead to a lot of people with that comment.
John Michaels isn't white either, but you know he's still on the list as number three. How about Dallas Cowboys receiver Cole Beasley?
He is white.
He released his debut song called 80 stings. He'll be on his first full debut.
Are you serious?
He's got an album coming out this spring.
Stop
it. Here's the first one.
Sunday, Jerry's boss now. When I ball out, I'm a dog. When dad get the ball out, put a sauce out. Put a sauce on him, that's too much. Good wife, that's too clutch. Without a backbone, you can't do much. Making moves like food trucks. Getting to the bread till it's chewed up. And my bank accounts look juiced up. Who knew, huh? White dude rapping too tough. While I sued up, white and glued up. Silver shoes stuck, get loose touch. Down, got all of the crowd reaching on down. Cleaning they shoes up, man. And back when I remember them telling me to end this vision.
He's got a little Eminem to him, kind of the same.
Does it ever change?
Much. Gotta go harder, it's too much, all cause of stigma. I reply with this first enigma, gotta listen back just to learn the picture. My first description, take the earth to spin before
bad.
The verse can hit
him.
I'm the first with skin of what's against what's in of us rap elites.
But I'm not gonna go buy it.
I like him in a slam poetry event.
Look at how I curve the rhythm, just squirting venom like a nervous cobra.
I mean, does it ever go to the chorus?
Nope.
Ever. It just, he just spits lyrics
but
the whole time?
He only teased, and this actually came from the Cowboys' Twitter account.
Of course it did.
Yeah, he only teased.
It's not like they have the playoffs to think about.
90 seconds of his song.
Oh, yeah, I took that shot, Rick. You think I was going to let that one slide by?
No, that was a good one. You know who might like this, in all seriousness, is Mike Conti. Conti likes that, the speed rap thing.
He's a big speed
so
rap
Conti,
guy.
So Conti might actually like that. This is What's Up. You know that I like to read between the lines, and Detective Kamla has entered the building here in the Kia Studios. Cole Beasley is planning his second career already. You're like, what do you mean? He's like right in the prime of his career. What prime? 75 grabs last year, 36 this year.
Mm. Boom.
Yeah, but how many NFL stars have gone on to a successful music career?
Let's see. Carry the two. None. None. Nobody has.
Oh, you think I thought he was going to have? It's called a joke. It's called sarcasm.
All artists want to be athletes, and all athletes want to be artists.
All sports talk hosts want to be artists,
well,
too.
Well, Cole Beasley is neither.
I just not want to be so fat.
Mark, by the way, you know we're like one more Falcons win from all the other stations in town. I'm going to come up with a Falcons song. How about get some original content for once?
Tell me
original
more.
Original is Ask Us Anything.
Yeah.
What are you talking about?
Remember last year, all the stations around town, we've got a Falcons rap coming up
like
here.
Like sports stations or non-sports stations?
Both.
Can I go actually help out some of the competitors?
Uh-huh.
Maddie, Ice Baby, don't. It's been done.
Yeah, it's already been done.
Show a little bit of creativity.
Yeah, I did that like at the middle of the year last year, but that's okay. Take a break. We come back. We'll check in with
Whose fault was it? Whose fault was it?
It wasn't Matt's fault, I can tell you that much.
Couple moments left here. There's some crazy stuff going on in the NFL right now. We already told you that Daryl Bevel, the OC of the Seahawks, is out. Mm-hmm. John, your boy, Dave Softy Mailer of Seattle's KJR, reports Chris Richard, their DC, is out.
Really?
So, yeah, apparently they are cleaning house in Seattle.
You know the name I heard for DC in Seattle? Gus Bradley. Maybe going back.
I like that. In over his head as a head coach, but a good coach. And there is this. John Michael.
Uh-huh.
According to ESPN.com, I'm sure it's Vaughn McClure, Coach Dan, zero chance OC Steve Sarkisian is leaving the Falcons to be the Seahawks offensive coordinator.
Huh.
Your boy, CBS Sports Jason LaConfora.
Oh, that dude.
Insert expletive here. Reported earlier Wednesday that many expect Sarkisian to replace Bevel as the Seahawks OC.
Well, again, they can't talk to him until the Falcons season's over, so let's hope that that doesn't happen until sometime in mid-February.
Actually, Dan Quinn just told the media today he can have Sarkisian when he pries him from my cold, numb fingers.
And then he'll headbutt him.
Not a bad look for Sarkisian, though, right? At the end of your first year as OC, and you're already getting at least rumors about getting another job.
I like the fact that Carl can be versatile. He comes in like this nice sport coat, and all of a sudden he goes to the Terry Fox collection with the vest, except it's not zipped halfway up.
Yeah, listen, I got to be comfortable in here, and I had a client meeting earlier.
Really?
But,
what are those?
Man, and so I had to look the part. That's cold-blooded. But, yeah, so I appreciate the love. By the way, Mark Owens, how you feeling? Never mind.
This has been the hour of inside jokes on the midday show.
He's not even listening to me.
No, look.
Well, because, we were supposed to be off the air a minute ago. Him and Paul have long since checked out.
Oh, Paul's still here?
Yeah, normally he's in the elevator by now.
He had a salute for Carl on the way out.
He's usually already in his car right now.
All right, what do you guys got coming up 2-7?
Oh, man, we'll talk plenty about this game coming up on Saturday, guys. We'll start to break it down. Philadelphia, we'll talk about Matt Ryan. Yes, he's back at practice. I know you guys were talking about it. And listen, this whole Sark thing, I'll say this. Life's about relationships. It doesn't surprise me that this rumor's out there at all because of the connection with Carroll. This is how he got the job here. We'll get into it, guys.
That's all coming up 2-7. It's Dukes and Bell. Ricky,
see ya.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.